All right, let's turn to Luke 8. That's where we'll be this morning, part of the time. Luke chapter 8. I'm going to be continuing the series that I started several weeks ago on the miracles of Jesus. And as you recall, last week we talked about the woman who had the issue of blood, healed of the issue of blood. This morning I want to go back to the beginning of that story, and I want to talk just a little bit more about it and kind of change the focus. There was a man named Jairus. Jairus was a ruler of a synagogue. He had a wife and he had a daughter. And his daughter was sick. Don't know how long she'd been sick, but she was very, very, very sick. As a matter of fact, she was on the edge of death. They'd called in doctors, and the doctors came in, and finally they said, you know what, there's nothing we can do. You just have to prepare for the worst. So Jairus got to thinking about it, and he looked at his wife, and he said, you know, there's this guy around that I've heard about. His name is Jesus. And I saw him one time heal somebody in the synagogue, cast out a demon. And I saw another time he healed somebody with a withered hand, and I've heard that there was a paralytic that was let down in front of him, and he healed that paralytic. I heard that he's done all these miracles, and you know what? He might be able to help our daughter. I'm going to go see him. And I'm going to see if this man can heal our daughter. So he did. Word had spread that Jesus was coming back across the Sea of Galilee from a visit he'd made on the other side. And he would be there soon. So on the day he was scheduled to arrive, he was going to arrive, and everybody knew it. Everybody started gathering at the seashore, and Jairus made that trek from his house to the seashore. Now, because he was the ruler of the synagogue, he had some sway, he had some power, and he was able to move basically to the front of the line. He got up there right at the edge there where the other people were. Now, I don't know about you, but when I am anxious about something or I'm a little worried about something, time slows down to a crawl, and everything seems to go in slow motion. Imagine Jairus standing on that shore, concerned about his daughter dying. And he looks out and he sees this boat slowly making its way to shore. And finally, after what seemed like hours, the boat hits the sand. And then people start coming out, and they're taking their sweet time doing it. Finally, this man that he recognizes as Jesus steps out, and he wades to the shore, and he just can contain himself no longer. So he runs up to Jesus, and he falls down at his feet. And he says, Jesus, my daughter is sick. My 12-year-old is sick and she's about to die. Can you please come and help me? Can you come and do something for my daughter? And Jesus just looks at him and says, yes, I will come. And so Jairus is elated at this, and he stands up and he turns, and Jesus starts following him because he doesn't know the way to the house yet. And as they're going along, the crowd pulls in. They start surrounding Jesus because they want to talk to him too. They want to hear what he has to say too. The disciples are with Jairus and they're trying to move people out of the way so Jesus can make his way through. And as they're going along, Jairus is thinking, oh, thank you, God, that Jesus is coming to see my daughter. But then suddenly, the crowd stops. And he turns around and he sees that Jesus has stopped. And Jesus says, who touched me? And one of his disciples says, well, Jesus, there are people all around you. They're so close. How can you know somebody touched you? And he says, look, somebody touched me. I felt power come out of me. And then he slowly starts looking person to person in that crowd. Finally, this woman breaks out of the crowd, and she comes and she throws herself at Jesus' feet. It was me, she said. It was me. I was the one who touched you, and I was healed when I touched you. And then she starts to tell a long, long story in Jairus' ear about the 12 years that she had suffered this disease and how she'd spent all her money and all of these things. Jesus stands there and patiently listens to every word she has to say. He doesn't interrupt her. He doesn't say anything. He just listens. What is Jairus thinking at this moment? What is he thinking? Put yourself in his sandals. His daughter was dying, literally dying, as he was standing there waiting for Jesus. And Jesus was letting precious moments slip through his fingers. as he stood there and listened to this woman tell this long, involved story? Did he not understand the gravity of the situation? Time was of the essence. You know, it's good that this woman was healed. I'm thankful that she was healed. I know her. I've seen her around the town. I know she had problems. I know she couldn't come to the synagogue. I never visited her. But other than that, I know about this. But God, please, you know, help me. Get this over with, whatever it is. But this woman just continues to talk. And then finally she finishes. And Jesus looks at her. And he says to her, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace." Have you ever considered how Jesus said that to him, to her? "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." Finally, it's over. And Jairus lets out a sigh of relief. He says, "Now we can go." So he turns around, and when he turns around, he sees a familiar face coming through the crowd toward him. The man finally walks up to him, and his expression is not a good expression. He puts his hand on Jairus' shoulder. He says, "Your daughter's dead. Don't trouble the master anymore." Man, those words must have been like a stone hitting him upside the head. It must have been like a knife that was thrust through his heart. "Your daughter is dead." We've heard those words, haven't we? Loved ones that we've lost in our lives, we've heard those words. And they cut like a knife, don't they? Now, Jairus must have expected that his daughter might die. He knew that it might happen because he knew how sick she was. And he knew that he needed to have someone help, and that was Jesus. Still, that news must have been very hard for him to take. Tears begin to well up in his eyes. And then he thinks about the other statement that his friend had said, "Don't trouble the teacher any further. Don't trouble the master anymore." Jairus says, "Well, you know, he's right. We're too late. My daughter's dead." And then he turns to Jesus to thank him for his concern and his care. "And you can go about your original business, Jesus." But when he turns to see Jesus, Jesus is looking him dead in the eye. And he has a slight smile on his face. And he says to him in the 49th verse here, or in the 50th verse, "Do not be afraid, only believe, and she will be made well." Think about how he must have said that to him. He's looking at him. "Don't be afraid. Just believe, and everything will be fine." Then he gestures like this. That's all Jesus had to do. And Jairus put all his faith into one basket, and he said, "Okay," to himself. And he turned and led the way to his house. Things were a lot quieter around Jesus now. Things were a lot quieter, and you could hear footsteps even. But as they got near the house, they could hear the sound of people wailing and crying. And they could hear flutes playing, the mournful flutes that were there. They turned down the street, and they saw these professional mourners standing out in the front of Jairus' house, wailing and playing flutes and doing all those things that professional mourners do. And then there were some amateur mourners there too, the family and friends who were concerned about this young lady. Now I want to stop for just a moment and kind of explain a little bit about Jewish burial customs. The burial was always held the same day that the person died, I guess unless it was real late at night. But if somebody died in the morning, they would be buried that afternoon. So this was not unusual, and they probably were waiting at this time for Jairus to come home so they could prepare the body and then bury the young lady. Traditionally, for these Jewish burials, they did hire professional mourners. How would you like to put that on your resume? "I'm a professional mourner," you know. But they hired these professional mourners, and a lot of them could not only cry on cue, but they could play instruments. That's why Matthew was talking about the flute players in his version of this story in Matthew chapter 9. All of this would go on for 7 days from the time of the death. So there we are. They arrive at the house, and Jesus hears these flutes. He hears this wailing and crying, and he looks at these people, and he says, "Why are you making this commotion and weeping? This child is not dead. This child is only sleeping. And the family members probably didn't know what to think of this. But the professional mourners did. The friends did. They'd seen this child. They knew she was dead. They'd heard the mother's words. They knew she was dead. And they laughed at Jesus. They laughed him to scorn, we're told in the scriptures. But Jesus didn't care. He had everyone clear out of the house, except for Jairus, his wife, Peter, James, and John. And when everybody was gone, they all went into the room where the little girl was lying. Jesus walked up to the bed, and he said, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." And suddenly her chest heaved a little bit as breath came back, and her eyes fluttered. And she sat up on the side of the bed, stood up, and started walking. Walked over to her mom and dad, who were waiting there with open arms, and they were totally astonished. Jesus didn't say anything about the miracle. He didn't say anything else. He just said, "Give her something to eat." And then he said, "And please, don't tell anybody about all this." And then he left. Now, I wanted to go back and go through the whole story from the beginning, not just this part about Jairus, but from the beginning, because I think there are some important things that we need to talk about as we look at this scenario. These two miracles, the woman who was healed of the issue of blood and the raising of Jairus' daughter, have some similarities to them that are very easy to overlook if you don't really look at it and think about it. And I wanted to talk about that a little bit. The stories also illustrate some in their points, some important points about Jesus and how he interacts with other people. So when we look at this story, we can see that Jairus and this woman with the issue of blood had something real common. They had something in common. They came to Jesus in total faith. They believed that he could effect a healing for them. They were putting all of their hopes in Jesus Christ. They didn't know him at all. They didn't know who he really was, but they heard what he had done and they believed that he could do it for them too. And so they put all their eggs in one basket of Jesus. Habakkuk 2:4 says this, "Behold, the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith." These two people were living by their faith. They were living their faith. This woman had been sick for 12 years, and she'd spent all of her money on her doctors. She had done all of these things, and this was her last-ditch effort. But look at Jairus. Do you think that his daughter got sick that morning? Now, that was a fictionalized version that I told earlier, but when you think about it, do you think that his daughter got sick that morning, just suddenly got sick? How did he know Jesus was coming at that particular time? You have to think about all these things. There had to be some time that went by that we don't know about. Apparently, this had been going on for a while because there were professional mourners there mourning when he got to the house. Apparently, they thought this might happen. They had expected the worst, and they'd sort of planned for it. As with the woman, was this his last-ditch effort to save his daughter? What happens a lot of time to people, isn't it? The last effort you make is to turn to Jesus. The last effort you make is to turn to God. And you put all your faith and your trust in him. And that's what they did. They came to Jesus in faith. It's also interesting to note that they both came with a very humble attitude. You know, sometimes our circumstances tend to make us humble, don't they? We're all high and mighty and haughty and all of that. But then something happens, and it changes the way we are. That's where the phrase, brought down a peg and bring back down to earth, that's where those came from. We learn humility quickly when we're brought down a step or when we're in desperate situations. Here was Jairus. He had a great job. He was the head of the ruler of the synagogue. He was an important man. And yet he fell at the feet of this rabbi. He humbled himself. He didn't realize he was humbling himself to the Lord, but he humbled himself. The woman didn't even consider that she was worthy to approach Jesus and say, "Will you heal me? If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed." Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. That's what James tells us in 4:10. And if you want a good example of this, you don't have to look any further than these two people in these stories. Jesus agreed to go with Jairus, and he honored the faith that Jairus had. And when the woman fell at his feet, he accepted that gesture too. He honored her faith with his words. Then when Jairus thought everything was lost, his daughter was dead and she was gone, Jesus looked at him and he said, "Keep believing. Keep believing. You came here believing. Keep believing. If you keep believing, she will be made well." Jairus did not argue with him. You notice that in the passage. He doesn't say, "Well, Lord, she's dead. I know she's dead." He says, "Okay." And they turn and they go to the house. Let's go back for a second and let's look at that 12 years, by the way. There is another similarity in these two stories. 12 years. Think about this. This woman had been sick with an issue of blood for as long as the child had been alive on this earth. 12 years. Do you think that was a coincidence? Do you think that God might have brought those people together? Surely Jairus must have thought about that at some point when he heard the woman's story. And if he didn't think about it then, he must have thought about it a little later on. And that may have been one of the reasons why Jesus stopped and took time to listen to this woman so that Jairus could hear the story, so he could understand somebody else's pain. He allowed the woman to get the story out, not to punish her, not because he was angry with her, to show her that he wasn't going to punish her or that he was angry, not that he was not angry with her. And he was also teaching this woman about the mercy of God. He was teaching Jairus, by the way, that everyone is important. "I know you're the ruler of the synagogue, and I know you've got an emergency going, but you know what? This woman's important too. Her problems are important too. This suffering woman was just as important as the head of the synagogue." Back in Job chapter 34 and 19, Elihu, who has been saying some terrible things about Job, says this: Yet he is not partial to princes, nor does he regard the rich more than the poor, for they are all the work of his hands. Talking about God. Just because Elihu said some terrible things doesn't mean he didn't say some good things, and that's one of the good things he said. Everybody's important in God's eyes. The ruler of the synagogue was just going to have to wait for a few minutes because Jesus had his own timetable and Jesus had his own priorities. Everyone was important to him. And you know what? Everyone is still important to Jesus. Everyone is still important to God. It is an interesting fact in this story that we never know the woman's name, nor do we know the name of the daughter of Jairus. Which brings me to another similarity. Let's go back and read verses 48 and 49 again. "And he said to her, 'Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace.'" Speaking to the woman. While he was still speaking, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's house saying to him, "Your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher." Now, from what I've read, what I was able to read while I was studying for this lesson, this is the only time in the Gospels that Jesus ever referred to a woman as daughter. The other times he said woman or some other name. But here was the only time that he referred to a woman as daughter. The word there is thugatar, and it's used when he's talking about the woman and about the daughter of Jairus. The same word is used. Jesus and the crowd had witnessed a father's compassion for his daughter. Someone who loved his daughter so much that he would come and throw himself at Jesus' feet and ask for his daughter to be healed. And Jesus' reaction was to help that man. Along the way, Jesus saw one of his daughters who was asking him for help. And he stopped to help. There is no need for names in this, For those two people, there's no name for the for, there's no need for the name for those two people, because the compassion of Jesus showed how much he loved both of them, and that they were both his children, and how much God loves his children. In John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, we're told, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. To those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." I'm always amazed when I'm reading the scriptures and they just say a child or a servant, or this person or that person. We never know their names. They made it into the Bible, but we don't know who they are. We just know what they did. We just know how important they were to the kingdom of God. There are millions of people who have lived and still are living, who are laboring in the kingdom every day, and we never know their names. We never know exactly who they are. They are just a face in the crowd. They are just someone who hands us food. They're just someone who pats us on the back. They're just someone who is trying to follow Jesus' footsteps. But God knows their names. It's interesting, up at the Tomb of the Unknown, the epitaph on that is, "Known but to God." And that's the reason they have those unknown soldiers there, to honor everyone. The faith that these two people showed honored them as well. With the actions on this day, Jesus demonstrated that everyone is important to God. Everyone is important to God. That he can heal both spiritually, and if he chooses, he can heal physically. That he is willing to give great gifts to all of us if only we will ask. Luke 11:13, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask them?" That day, two fathers gave gifts. Jesus gave the gift of healing to his daughter. Jairus brought the gift of Jesus and life to his daughter. And that's what he wants us to do. Doesn't matter if anybody knows our name. All that matters is they know the name of Jesus. This morning, if you have a need to answer an invitation, we're going to offer that to you right now while we stand and sing.